It's the greatest Houston-based podcast in the world, the motherfucking Weekly Deep Podcast. Burr, 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 burr. And we are back. We took a little bit of a hiatus simply because my laptop decided to shit the bed. It might have been the beer I spilled on it like 10 episodes ago. It might not be. I don't know yet. But we've been on a little bit of hiatus because I'm trying to figure that out. And we're doing this episode today just to do, if it works out, we'll release it. If it doesn't, it'll be hidden forever. But let's get right back into it, Alan. You got a nice crispy Snap-on hat that we just discussed. That Snap-on always gives out free stuff, but with the catch.
Yeah, so it's a $40 hat. My dad spent like $30 and got it for free. But the only reason why he got it for free was because the Snap-on guy felt bad because my dad's coworker spent like $300 on tools. And he was like, how much is the hat? And he was like, oh, it's on the house. Here you go. You can have it. And then my dad was about to get off, and he was going to shake his hand and everything. And he was just like, oh, by the way, Omar, here, you can have this hat.
Oh, I thought he spent like
it was a guilt thing.
That's fucking – dude, I fucking hate Snap-on so much because of that. They'll have some cool-ass shit, and they'll be like, oh, it's free. But you got to have an account that owes us about $1,000. Or you gotta buy a $50 tool to get a $10 hat for free. Fucking scammers, dude. I love Snap-on, though. The best feeling in the world was when I paid off my first toolbox and then my second toolbox. Kept the last one.
See, I think that's where I got lucky because my dad was just like, here, take this toolbox and here are all the tools. Fuck
you, Alan. You got lucky your dad already had a Snap-on toolbox with Snap-on tools.
Yeah, I got lucky.
I literally, my entire career as a mechanic, except for the last 2 years, I owe thousands and thousands of dollars to Snap-on. 14 years, easily paid over $60,000 in tools, if not more.
Jesus,
I could have bought like a car with that. Look at me now. I don't even work with them. I use them as a hobby. I'm a hobbyist. God damn, dude.
Damn.
Life is crazy, bro. Life is so crazy thinking about it. You know, I still miss it, though. I'm sure you still miss turning wrenches every now and then.
Yeah. You yelling at me. God damn it.
I was thinking about that other day because over my new job, you know, it's a whole nother world to me. Something like I'm not used to doing. And I was telling my wife that, you know, back in the day when I was a mechanic, I wouldn't be able to sleep through the night without thinking of how to solve a problem. And I was like, and now my new job is kind of weird because I actually just like get to turn off my computer, walk away from the office and not think about it. As for when I was a mechanic, like I would literally fix tractors in my fucking dreams and then come back the next day and be like, that's exactly what the problem was. So...
You're like, that's what I dreamt about.
Bro, I can't tell you how many machines I fixed in my fucking dreams. Like, literally, in my dreams, it'd be like a 3D schematic of the fucking machine, just seeing how everything works, and then I'm like, that's the fucking problem. Next day, I'd come up to work, go look at that, boom, problem solved.
Late, my dad. Late,
oh, dude. My dad. I was a king. I've never been good at time management except for this new job. And actually, when I first started working for that company we worked for, I was actually really punctual, but that all fell apart by the time you met me. 2 hours late. Yeah. But see, they knew I was going to be there.
But if you think about it, though, yeah. But the other thing, too, is we stayed late a lot.
Yeah. And it wasn't because I showed up late. It's just because we had more work. Yeah. And, but it was that thing, right?
We had you as the master. We had you as a master technician, and I was like the one that was still trying to learn, but I was doing a lot more than the other guy. Yeah,
buddy. That was the best part, dude. We were running circles around people. You didn't know. Half the time, you were still trying to figure out what you were doing. But you had me. I had your back. I would go yell at you if you fucked it up anyway.
Yeah. That or you'd come over and start talking about podcasts, and then we'd waste like 3 hours of the day talking about what we're gonna do for the podcast.
I'd be done with my job. And you'd be like, yep.
No. No. I'm in the middle of doing something. You always walked over and you're like, hey, so I was thinking, what do you think about this? What if we do this? And I'm like, yeah, we can do that. Before we knew it, it was lunchtime, took a 2 hour lunch break, still talking about it, come back, still talking about it. And then we're like, we got about 3 hours left in the day. Let's get some shit done.
Still about sounds about right. Oh man, I miss those days. I do miss fucking around.
Yeah, what's funny is that yesterday we went to Bayou Boys, and Nicole was like, I miss you working at Lansdowne just because of Bayou Boys.
Oh, because we used to go all
Because
the
I'd always eat half of it. Yeah, and I would only eat like half
time.
of it because I was like, man, if I eat all of this, I'm gonna be
Yeah.
out. And I would bring the leftovers to her, and she's like, I love them leftovers. And I'm like, she's like, you should bring your guys over here. And I was like, what the hell? I can't just leave my job and go to Needville. And she's like, yes, you can. I was like, you're right, but I ain't gonna do it every day.
That shit was hilarious, bro. We used to do it so fucking much. And the manager would go with us and spend an hour and a half with us at Bayou Boys.
Yep.
Oh man, that shit's crazy. Crazy that he's still there too. No, not the manager anymore, but he's
Yeah.
still there.
I'm thinking about when they do the grand opening for the new store. I'm gonna take the
Oh,
day
I'm
off
gonna
just to go
go
chill a little bit.
too. We should go. We should plan this.
I'm gonna show up at 7:30 in the morning. And I'm gonna be like, damn, still the person that's on
I
like
show up at
early.
nine just to keep it like the good old days.
Because the only other person that
Kevin.
was like there before me was Kevin.
Yeah. Well.
And then after that, I'd always have to like drive through like the next property's
Little
like
fence.
driveway or whatever just to go around our fence because I didn't have a key.
Yeah. Bro, I'll never forget the day I thought Kevin's head exploded. When I realized he was bald, he took that head off, dude. I thought the gus took his hair, bro. I was like, damn, it's windy. It ain't that windy.
I don't know if I was there or if I was doing something else. And but when I came back, you're sitting there, you're like, dude, let me tell you something. Did you know that Kevin was bald? I was like, yeah, you didn't know that? Bro, I thought I was going crazy. I was like, it fucked you up because he had long locks, huh?
Hell.
Yeah, and then he lifted it up and it was just straight head.
It was straight dumb,
It was
bro.
shiny.
And blinded me for a fucking second. Nah, dude, I'll never forget that, though. That shit tripped me the fuck out. I was like, holy fuck. Or have you been hiding that the whole time? I thought his hair
100%
blew off.
had it. So what's crazy about that is that I have a coworker right now. He's like 22, 23, and his hair is like
No
Kevin's.
way. You know what? I would do the same thing.
Like he keeps his shit like real short on the sides and everything, and it looks normal, but the moment he takes it off, straight bald. And I'm like, fuck. And then there's another one that's about the same age as him. He works out of the Needville location. He's got like super long hair. Takes off the hat,
Bro,
bald.
honestly, if I ever start going bald, I'm gonna grow my hair out as long as it can go. Just to fuck with people. I'm gonna have
And you're just gonna go.
the Homer Simpson, the
Come over.
three hairs.
Yeah. Then one day you're gonna go to the damn event or whatever, and you're just gonna see your come over just going woo like Donald Trump's toupee.
The catch it just right. Bro, talking about old timers. Did you see that fucking bridge that went down the other day? That Francis Scott
Yeah,
Key Bridge or whatever? Did you
in
Yeah,
Baltimore.
the boat hit and then it just went down. Bro, did you
Yeah.
hear what Biden said? Biden's
Yeah.
retarded ass was
What?
like, "Oh, I used to ride the train across that bridge all the time. There's never been a fucking train track on that bridge." I was like, this dude has more and more old timer moments than any other president we've ever had. He's the oldest fucking president we've ever had.
And then what's funny is that I saw that Trump had made a speech that he's all mentally healthy. He's perfectly fine. He doesn't have dementia or anything. And then Biden responds with, I have no mental issues at all. I have perfectly good working memory. And I was just like, bro, you're reading a script. Hell yeah.
And he still fucks up the script most of the time. Bro, isn't it crazy, though, that we have the oldest fucking president? And we all know, like, he's not pulling the strings. He's not making the calls. There's someone else behind the curtain. But we're still letting him be the fucking dude. President. Like, what the fuck's wrong with us?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's actually, like, all decisions are made by the VP.
Bro, I don't even, that bitch is retarded, too. Everything to him. Did you see, don't come after me, but did you see when Kamala Harris's dumb ass went to Puerto Rico? And they were singing to her in Spanish, and they're singing some fucked up shit to her, like telling her to get the fuck out. Why is she in Puerto Rico? She's over there just dancing and clapping along, like they're singing for her. I was like, you stupid fucking bitch. You don't even know what they're talking shit
about. How do you not have a translator with you? Well, how don't you have a translator with you and just telling you?
Bro, the best part was she had a translator, and they let her do this, and then they're like, hey, by the way, this song's in protest.
They were telling you to get out.
Oh, man.
Ah, damn.
Oh, dude, our fucking world is crazy right now. I can't believe all the shit that's going on. Like with Donald Trump, did you see that? You know, they're supposedly going to steal, like seize all his shit because he had to post like $500 million bond, and somehow they lowered his bond and he ended up richer. Hey, you didn't hear about that? Oh, I forget. You're uncultured as fuck. Nope. Let me culture you. Let me learn you right now. I am. All right. So there's a judge in New York. His name's like Enron or something like that. Elgaron. Whatever the fuck his name is. It doesn't matter. So this judge to fuck Donald Trump over because the Democrats knew that Donald Trump had $500 million in cash for his campaign. This fucker set his bond for his trial at $475 million. $500 million, right? Their goal was to set this bond so they would take away all of Donald Trump's campaign money so he wouldn't be able to campaign, which $475 million out of his $500 million, pretty steep, right? So that was their goal. And Trump was like, well, fuck this. I'm not going to spend all that money. I got to pay for my campaign and whatnot. You know, Trump, he likes to party. He likes to golf. He likes to do all this shit. So, of course, his campaign's going to be $500 million. Well, they set this bond, and Trump can't get anyone to give him a bail bond, right? Like, no bank. Everyone's like, that's ridiculous. That's, you know, that's unheard of. There's no way in hell any bank's going to give you that big of a bond. So Trump starts to protest it and takes it back up to court. And, you know, they have this whole thing called Applegate in New York, which is like a court above the judge that can overturn his rulings. And well, while Trump's doing all this, he sells Truth, his social media, which is like Twitter. So he sells Truth, right, for like $1 billion. So he's like, you know what, I'm gonna make this money and I'm gonna pay this stuff, because like on March 25th was the deadline that he had to pay the bond. Well, on March 25th, the Applegate division in New York decides, hey, that bond that they gave you, the $475 million, is unreasonable. It's unlawful. You know, we're going to drop your bond to $175 million, which is still a crazy amount of number, but he's got the money, right? So, yeah. I mean, they end up killing his bond. They look ridiculous, right? Because it's obvious that they're trying to fuck him over in every way, and they're just being blatant about it to the eye of the public. And Trump got like $1 billion richer off the whole thing. That's like the ultimate flex, dude. He's like, you're going to fuck me over. I'm going to get richer and make you look stupid. God damn, dude.
Wow.
Imagine that, though. You make $1 billion off of a social media platform. That shit's crazy. Elon Musk paid $40 million for it.
I don't even know how popular that social media account is.
It's a platform. I don't know either. I mean, I hear about it all the time.
I don't use it.
I don't use it either. I
barely use anything.
Obviously, you're fucking uncultured and swine. I mean, you do use Instagram like crazy. You literally use Instagram every fucking day, and you post on Instagram every fucking day. But yet you're so uncultured, and I don't understand. It hurts my brain.
You wouldn't know. It's the algorithm.
The algorithm.
It's showing me shit that I want to see instead of shit that is going on, really. Like, I'm surprised it even showed me the Baltimore Bridge thing.
Honestly, I am too.
Yeah, like the first thing that happened, I was like, I got to work and we sit in our cars for till like 6:25. Mm-hmm. We have to clock in by like 6:30. Mm-hmm. 6:25, we get out of our cars and we walk to go clock in. So everybody's usually there like 15, 20 minutes mm-hmm. early or whatever, and we just sit in our cars. But yeah, I had just parked my car and I was waiting for 6:25 and opened up Instagram, and that was the first thing I saw, and I was like, interesting.
Yeah, that shit's crazy, dude. Imagine being on that bridge. Although I find it sketch, right? So conspiracy theory me obviously started looking at it a little bit deeper, and I find it hella sketchy that they managed to stop all the vehicles before the boat hit the bridge.
But they did.
They claimed there was no vehicles on the bridge.
Because there's no bridge.
Huh? No, there is no...
I said, because there's no bridge.
No, there was no vehicle on the bridge when the boat hit it.
Really? I heard that there was like 20 cars in the water.
Nah, that's not what I heard. That's not what the reports were going around saying. That's not the reports that they've been saying. That they claim that, you know, there was no vehicles on the bridge by the time the boat hit the fucking bridge. Pretty sketch, bro. And then you watch the video and it looks like the bridge kind of explodes in certain parts. Find a little sketchy.
I mean, I know I could see where the boat was losing power over and over again and he was trying to pull it into reverse, but it was too late. But when I did watch the video, I was kind of like, holy shit, one pillar and like almost half of the bridge is gone. I was like, that one support really was carrying a lot of weight. He didn't even
hit it at full speed. Right? Like, he was trying to slow down.
No.
I mean, you see the engine overloading, blowing up, rolling coal, because it's trying to turn it in reverse, or turn it at all. And then when he hits the bridge, he's not going very fast.
No. It's very slow. You can even see where, like, the pillar slowly...
But...
starts tipping over and then everything
falls. You see some of the sections fire. How is there fire on a bridge that just got hit? C4, bro. Twin Towers all over again. They're trying to take the bridge down to remodel it.
I saw boats. I didn't know boats were flying.
I don't know, dude. I just find it sketch, man, that some of the supports on the bridge just happened to look like they sparked up when they got hit. When the boat got hit.
Yeah, but also here's my other thing though. What's the significance of taking out that bridge?
I don't know, maybe they want to remodel it, but without having to pay for it, remodel it. Insurance claim. I mean, think about it.
Like, yeah.
The World Trade Center, right? When it went down, the guy had like a $100 million insurance claim on the towers.
Wasn't it like a couple of weeks before it happened?
Like a couple months before it happened, he had bought the insurance and had scheduled a demolition the day of. Think about it.
The day of, he scheduled the demolition for the towers?
There's a supposed, like, proposed plan to demolish the building that day. But he didn't want to do it because it was going to cost too much. And then somehow, the tower went down. I don't know. It sounds like Hawaii all over again. Bro, I've had too much time to look into shit as of late. I literally, if you think that before I used to listen to a lot of podcasts and conspiracies, now it's like on a whole nother thing. It's like on steroids.
Yeah, because your office is your house, and you're just sitting there with like a podcast playing in the background while you're doing paperwork. And all I've been doing at work is watching free YouTube movies.
God damn it.
all I've doing.
Just been popping the alpha brain like it's candy, bro. Listening to a podcast. Retaining a shitload of information. Some days it feels like I'm
doing this. With a little dash of honeysuckle. Oh, yeah. What are they going to do? Drug testing?
No, dude. It's been an interesting time. We took a week off.
Don't forget if they're going to do the oil one.
Huh? Oh, I was going to say, it's been a weird time because we took a week off because my laptop fucked up. And then we had a podcast recorded, which is the day my laptop started fucking up, which pretty good job on your end for editing it the way you did. Or was it all AI?
All AI. I only cut out like one section.
Right? Riverside's a shit though. Like, shameful plug. Go get your Riverside FM if you're trying to start a podcast. Great. It's fucking great. It does everything for you. Writes descriptions, transcribes your videos, cuts your videos. It does it all. Hit up that Riverside FM in the link in our show notes.
Aren't we sponsored?
And help the people that help us. Hell yeah. Hell yeah, dude.
Hell yeah.
You got any Easter plans?
I think we're having an Easter egg hunt at Nicole's grandma's house, her mom's mom.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Out in Needville.
All in the country.
Rosenberg, Needville. I think there's that. And then I think Saturday there apparently is a birthday party for my cousin's kid. So my mm-hmm. nephew. At my grandpa, my mom's dad's house.
Okay. Nice.
Cause they're my aunt and my uncle, but they're also mm-hmm. like my godparents. They went and bought mm-hmm. the property.
Nice.
A couple years ago. Yeah, so apparently they remodeled my grandpa's house, so I don't know. I may go, I may not go.
Why wouldn't you go?
I don't know. So I was having this discussion with Nicole mm-hmm. the other day that I spent so much time working and missing so many family mm-hmm. events that they know that I was working. And that I was always working. Mm-hmm. But for me to like re-enter my family mm-hmm. feels really weird. Okay. So it's kind of like they know everything that's going on mm-hmm. with me if they've talked to my mom, but I know nothing about what's going
gotcha.
On.
Gotcha. Okay.
So and then there's that like mm-hmm. disconnect as far as like your relationship with everybody. Because yeah. I don't talk to everybody every mm-hmm. single day. And, like, I'm hardly on Facebook to sit there and message them back and forth. Like, they message each other or whatever. So, I don't know. It's kind of weird to me. Family function. I just recently started going to, like, my Salvadorian uh-huh. side stuff. If I don't have anything planned that weekend, I try mm-hmm. to go. But on my Mexican side, not really.
Damn.
I've hardly attended
you know,
anything.
That's interesting you say that because I'm in the same boat. So one of my aunts, she turns 80 this year, right? And she's the oldest aunt on my dad's side. And her health has kind of declined over the past couple of years. So they want to throw her a huge party in June. And like my dad's like, oh, we all need to go. You know, it's your aunt. And I was close to my aunt as a kid, but like, ever since I lived in Texas, I've kind of disconnected from my family. And I mean, here in Texas, the only family I have is my immediate family, my wife and my in-laws and my friends that I consider family. Right. And it's like this whole time I'm having this conflict where like, I want to go cause I want to go see my aunt and celebrate her before she passes. Right. Because you never know. And like, I don't want to live with that regret because I already live with the regret that my grandparents passed away right before my wedding and I couldn't go see them, right? Mm-hmm. And I went years without seeing them, and like I'm forever going to live with that regret because I really loved my grandpa. I was really close to him. But like now it's like I want to go see my aunt, and I'm kind of close with like two cousins. I have about 50 cousins, dude. I have about, what, 10 aunts, you know, another 8 uncles. I have a really big family on my dad's side, and it feels so, I'm like so nervous to go out there because I haven't seen them or really talked to them since I moved into Texas, which was almost like 12 years ago. No, more than that. It's like 14 years ago. So it's kind of.
I kind of want to say that's like around the same time.
Oh no.
Oh no.
We lost Alan. Oh. Goddamn.
My camera's back.
My camera's back. Caught you.
I don't know. It's a little weird. Gold, the USB plug that I have it hooked. No, it's scratching my nose.
Play it off.
The USB cord that I use on my keyboard, for some reason, it sometimes trips out. What was I going to say? So that's like about around the same amount of years that it's been. Because I think like the last time I really saw like all my cousins on my mom's side, like immediate family, was probably like when I was like 15. Like majority of my cousins, I remember them being like to my waist in height. Now they're almost as tall as me.
Goddamn.
Yeah. So I've got like on the Salvadorian side, last time I saw one of my other cousins, he was just like to my waist, right? I saw him last year at Christmas. Dude's like over 6 feet tall. Damn. So that's a major difference. Yeah. But I mean, the same thing kind of goes with like my mom's younger sister, my cousin Bianca. I remember her when she was like 5. And that's the image that's in my head. Well, just recently, when I started attending like the Christmas on my mom's side, like, dude, she's big. Yeah. Like, she's tall. And I'm like, when the fuck did you grow up?
No, what's crazy, dude?
And that's the thing that's going on with like my whole family. Yeah, what's
crazy is like, I was a teen, right, when I moved here, and like I've only visited California a handful of times since I moved here, and like the last time I saw my cousins, like I was what, 18, 19. My younger cousins were teenagers, you know. My older cousins, because I was like one of the few, there's a handful of us that were in between where we were all around the same age, but it's like 5 of us, and then the rest of them are either way older or way younger. And like my younger cousins, fuck, like my cousin Puggy, that motherfucker got married, his girl's pregnant, and like he's about to have a kid, and I'm just like, god damn, dude, last time I saw you, you're playing peewee football. You know. And one of my other cousins, you know, she got 3 kids now. Last time, she's the same age as me. And I was like, god damn, dude, you popped them out quick. You know, one of my older cousins, motherfucker's a grandpa now. So I'm just like, god damn, dude, I've missed so much life. And like, so my family was tight. When I lived in California, we were all tight. Like, all the cousins grew up together. From both sides. Like, we all grew up together. We all lived in the same poor neighborhoods. Some of us live in the same fucking apartment complex, so we literally all grew up together from both my mom and dad's side. So it's like, I want to go down there, but it's gonna be so weird because, one, I'm an adult now, right? Two, everyone knows, a lot of them know me as like a party animal. I've always been a little bit of a wild child. Three, I'm fucking married now. I'm old, I'm fat. Like, I'm almost 30. And I'm going to go see them for the first time in fucking, what, 10 years? It's weird. I'm curious how the dynamic's going to be. You know, some people are still salty because they didn't get invited to my wedding. So that's another conversation. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun trip for sure.
Yeah, see, yours is, like, mainly in, like, California. Like, my family, like, besides my mom's, like, brothers and sisters, which they're spread out too. So, I mean, I've got family, let's see, Salvadorian side and some of my mom's side are in Needville. My uncle, my mom's oldest brother, is in Sugarland. I think my cousin's out there too. My other cousin's up in Katy. And then the family I'm going to go see, it's in Fresno. So that's it's there. Like Saturday is going to be in Fresno. Then my other family is more like towards downtown Houston. I know it took like about an hour to go see them. I don't know where exactly. I just know it was Houston. And then my mom's other sister, one of the younger sisters, lives all the way out in like
Pasadena. Okay. So y'all pretty spread out.
Yeah. So like my family is not even close. And then like on my dad's side, it's Needville. And then everybody else is up in Dallas.
Damn, okay.
Yeah, so my family is like spread out.
They're about to go see, to a family function and feel like the outsider.
Yeah. And do, I mean, do any of your cousins my aunt, my mom's.
Or like other race?
Shit, dude. Like, so I'm the oldest as far as like cousins, Salvadorian side here in the States. So the ones that live out in Needville, Danielle was born first, then it's her brother Jalen. Danielle already has a kid.
Thank God.
Jalen already has a kid with a second one on the way. And they're younger than me.
They're slacking them.
Yeah, like they're like, they like, yeah, I am. And then of course there's my cousin Brandon on mom's side. He's got two kids, three kids.
I mean, you don't have a kid, but you're taking care of a kid. Does that count?
Yeah. No. No, that is not a, that is, what he does is not a byproduct of what I am, because I got him, I got damaged goods when he showed up. I tried repairing it. It's a lot harder than what.
Okay, if ain't gonna do it.
This fucking DIY project needs a lot more than just fucking super glue and a couple of nails. It requires skills I have not acquired yet. I mean, I got the dad jokes down, but that's about it. That's as far as I go.
You gotta have discipline. And patience. A lot of fucking patience. Oh, man.
Fucking shit. Discipline doesn't even fucking work, dude. Yeah. Fucking, and Nicole would like pop him once, and he'll sit there and he'll be like laughing, and I'm like, this dude,
like, catch me outside.
And you know what's funny though? You know what's funny though is that when I look at him, yes, he has damaged goods and everything and the way he grew up, but a lot of the things that he does, I did. The only difference is I hardly got caught.
It's not a slip.
Because I knew what was going to happen if I got caught. I'd get the belt. And so I guess that's why it surprises him when I'm just like, yo, there's a box of candy missing. Where is it at? I don't know. I'm like, okay, all right. I go straight to his room, lift up the mattress. And he's like,
fuck.
I'm just like, how'd you know? I was like, dude, I was your age at one point. I knew where to hide things. And then one time I told him to clean his room, right? I walk in, I look, it's swept and everything. And I did what my mom used to do to me. I lifted up that mattress to look under the bed frame, and I was like, dog, this ain't clean. Yeah. This ain't clean at all. I used
to hate when my mom used to do that shit to me. I'm like, fuck you mean it's not clean? You can't see it. Oh, man, that's pretty funny, dude.
Yeah, dude, but a lot of the things that he does, I'm just like, dude, I did that before.
You know, it's frustrating now, but like, eventually you're going to find the humor in all this.
I find humor in it every day, but oh my God. So like I was saying, like when he gets hit, when he starts laughing and everything. At one point, there was a time where when my mom used to hit me, I didn't feel it no more, but I still had to play the role of it hurt. Because other times, like for me personally, like it got to a point to where it would itch.
Gotcha.
Like it wouldn't hurt, but it would itch. So I'd be scratching it instead of crying. And then she's like, "I'm gonna go get your dad." And I was like, "No, it hurts no more."
Did I ever tell you about the time I pissed my mom off so much she broke a spoon on me, and then moved on to throwing a pan?
Oh, you told me about the.
When I was a kid, she tried to spank me, right? And I just laughed. She tried to hit me with the spoon, and I caught the spoon. And the look on her face, I'll never forget, because I've never seen her that fucking pissed and serious. Like, her eyes showed, "I'm about to murder you." So I caught the spoon, and she's like, let it go. And I was like, "No, you're going to hit me with it." And she's like, "Let it go." And I was like, "No, you're going to hit me with it." So she grabbed a bigger spoon. And she went, "Wah!" And she hit me hard as fuck, dude. Like, on my ass. Like, it stung, but that motherfucker snapped, and I just laughed because it snapped. And so I can see her getting red and more pissed off. So I tried to run off, and she nailed me perfectly in the back of the head with a pen at about 5 yards, dude. I was shocked by the accuracy. I was more shocked that she hit me than what it actually hurt. But I just could not believe that she hit me perfectly in the back of the head. Knocked me over. And you heard a dunk. And I was just out.
She was playing PUBG before PUBG was even famous. Bro.
I used to piss her off on purpose sometimes just to see what she would do. But I miss those days, right? Those were the days you can pull off that shit and not get the cops called on you for child abuse.
Yeah. I mean, I look at some kids nowadays, and I'm like, bro,
did you ever get your ass whooped in public? Were you ever at the store and do something stupid, and your mom's like, "I'm going to fuck you up"?
So, there's a story to that. Apparently, I was being really bad at Walmart one time when I was little. I don't even remember it. But from what my mom had told me was, I was being really bad. I was screaming. I was hollering. I was grabbing stuff. Like, I wouldn't stop. I was acting out. My dad got pissed.
Oh, shoot.
And he said, "Here, I'm going to take him to the truck. You go ahead. You pay for the groceries and everything." You know, kind of embarrassed that he's screaming and hollering, and there's nothing that we can do to keep him from doing it. My mom said she got to the truck, put up all the groceries, got it, sat in the truck, and she just hears me in the back. And she was like, "What happened?" She's like, "I popped them once." And apparently, since then, I never acted out at the store. I don't remember it at all, but apparently, I remember it enough not to act out at the store.
God damn. No. What?
My dad's only hit me twice in my life.
That's all it took, yes. Man.
Terrified. When my mom would hit me, I'd be like, "That's whatever, you know, it is what it is. I took the punishment. It was worth it." But then when she started threatening my dad, with my dad, and my dad come around and do that pop with the leather belt, I'd be like, "Oh, I repent my sins. Lord Jesus, please save me."
Nah, I never got my ass whooped in public, but I remember when I was a kid. So, allegedly, when I was a kid, we went to Kmart. You remember Kmart? Okay, but this is Kmart in California.
Fucking barely, dude.
This is how old I am. Kmart was still popping back then, and Mervin's was popping. I don't know if that's a California thing only, but Mervin's was like Marshall's.
Yeah, I've never heard of Mervin's.
Okay, so we go to Kmart, and there's this badass Harley Davidson motorcycle toy that I want. It was a die-cast one. And I keep asking my mom. It was only $3. I kept asking my mom. And she's like, no. So I got tired of asking. So I grabbed the box. I gently removed the motorcycle from the box, allegedly, and stuck it in my pocket. Okay. Calm down. Didn't ask my mom for anything the rest of the store trip. When we go to checkout, everything's fine. We walk out. And luckily, there was another family walking out at the same time as us, because the little metal detector things went off. And they stopped the other family. I don't want to say what ethnicity they were, but they were a little bit darker than us. But so we walk out, right? We get in the car, and my dumb ass pulls the motorcycle out my pocket, and I start playing with it. And we're still in the parking lot. My mom looks at me, and she's like, "What the fuck is that?" And I just ignored her, right? I was over there playing with my little Harley Davidson. My mom was like, "What the fuck is that?" But in Spanish, right? And she's like, "Qué chingados es eso?" I was like, "Ma, I don't know what you're talking about." He's like, "No, qué chingados es eso?" And I was like, "Mom, I'm sorry. It was a toy. I wanted it." And she literally puts the car in park, gets out the car, opens the door. She's about to fuck me up, dude. She has her chancla in her hand already, just ready to fuck me up. And she just so happens to look up and realizes there's a camera right there, right in front of her. And I realized it too. And I was like, "There's a camera there." And she's like, "Okay." She's like, "Okay." And she's like, "What's on? Just wait till we get home." Bro, it was a 15-minute drive. I was quiet the whole time. I pretended like nothing happened. Right? I even turned on the radio, right? I asked my mom to turn on the radio. She turned on the radio. She was singing along to Juan Gabriel. And we're like, I was like, "Cool." Like, she's calm, right? Cool, calm, collected. Cool as a cucumber. I'm out of this. We get home. I help her take all the groceries out, right? Because I'm a good kid, right? And I go upstairs to my room to play with this fucking Harley Davidson. Like 10 minutes after I hear her finish putting everything up, I hear her stomping up the stairs. Boom, 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 boom. I was like, geez, she's really moving. Opens the door. And she's like, "Daniel?" I was like, "Yeah." "Crees que se me olvidó?" I was like, "No." She's like, "Crees que se me olvidó que te robaste algo de la pinche tienda?" And I was like, "Oh shit, I'm on." Fucking tried to hide a motorcycle. Boy, she lit my ass up. And she's like, "You ever throw a tantrum again in the store or steal something, I'm not going to care about the cameras. I'm going to fuck you up right there and then." That was the last time I ever stole something from Kmart. I say Kmart because allegedly Walmart got robbed a couple times. But that was in the future.
Yeah. So what's funny is that we were at a Walmart. And I got like one of those like foam footballs that had the tail at the end. It wasn't a whistle. It was just like aerodynamics or whatever. It just had a tail on it. It looked more like a big foam arrow than it did a football.
A Nerf.
Yeah. So it was outside the party. And I was sitting there. I was like, "Well, I'll just play with it. You know, I'll put it back." Stuffed it in my pocket. Forgot. Walked out. Got in the truck. Forgot, pulled it out. I'm like, "What the hell?" And I was like, "I forgot to put it back, but nobody stopped us, so is it okay?" I didn't get hit or nothing. They're just like, "Don't let it happen again."
No, my mom fucked me up, dude. She was like, "I'm not gonna have any son that's a thief."
That was that one day. That was that one day. I was just like, I really didn't want anything. I really didn't want the football. I was just playing with it in the store, and then I forgot to put it.
I wanted that Harley Davidson so bad, and it was only $3. I was like, "I'm gonna risk it for $3." Bro, I got my ass beat like that was a $30.
$30 toy. Ass fucking
price.
Three bruises.
That should be a MasterCard commercial.
Turned 3% rewards. That was more like
10% there, buddy. No, I got lit the fuck up.
Oh,
I'll never forget the time I pissed my dad off so much when I was a teenager that he threw me down the stairs. Bro, that shit was bad. I remember, did I ever tell you that my parents were like in a church group that I'm convinced was a cult when I was in high school? Oh,
no.
Well, my parents were super religious back when I was in high school. And I am 100% convinced we were in a cult. Like 100% convinced. And my wife will attest to it because she was in the same cult with us. That's how I met her. But there is one day where I was like, "Fuck this. I'm not going to this stupid fucking church thing that they did every Thursday." Because they would go do like alabanzas and stuff on Thursdays. You know, they'd be like, "Alabare, alabare." Fuck all that shit. But they would go every Thursday. It was like a Bible study / alabanza / like... what's that shit called when they pull out the Eucharist and you pray with it? That was a whole thing. It was supposed to be like a whole group for building families in the faith of Catholicism. It was a fucking cult. Trust me. Leaders were cultish. So there's a lot of good church groups in the world, right? There's a lot of good things that the Catholic Church does. But this group specifically targeted families that were in need, and they would exploit them to grow their group. Like, it's a fact. And they outcasted any children or teenagers that did not want to comply with the rules. This is how me and my wife met. We were in a fucking cult. But anyways, there was one day where I was adamant I was not going to that fucking group anymore, because I fucking hated everyone there except for Noelia, who was my best friend at the time. And I said, fuck that, I'm not going. My dad got so pissed because he was brainwashed by this cult that me and him started like scuffling, right? And I'm not going to hit my dad. Even at that age, no matter how pissed off I wasn't going to hit him. But I did shove him, right? And at the time, I played football, so I was kind of big, you know? I gave him a good hearty little shove. My dad got pissed that I put my hands on him, dude. And without thinking, he grabbed me, pulled my shirt over my head, and then pushed me down the stairs. Allegedly. And then I got up, and I was ready to fight. At that point, I was like, fuck this. I was ready to box, bro. I was so fucking mad. But yeah, we were in that cult for a long fucking time. It was crazy. I'm gonna start a whole podcast here.
I watched a documentary. I believe it's on Netflix. Just recently came out. It's about the academy at River.
The program. It's called The Program. Yeah,
The Program.
Yeah.
That
shit is wild, bro. How they would fuck up those kids.
What's even crazier is that that wasn't the only location that they did. They had locations around the world. Yeah, they had one in Mexico,
right? It was called something on the coast.
Yeah.
Yeah, that shit's crazy.
That's like what it was called.
If whoever's listening has not seen The Program, and you like shit about like cults or fucked up shit like that, like, I mean, it's kind of hard. It's a hard watch, I'm not gonna lie. There are some scenes where you're just like, fuck. Like, they were talking about how the girls would get molested, and how they would like make them do like naked jumping jacks and shit as a physical. Yeah.
Cough.
They were talking about how, like, the on the boys' side, they would literally beat them the fuck up and then throw them in a room. Like, it was a crazy documentary to watch.
Yeah, they didn't even show like all the security footage that they recovered. But it's crazy that they left all that evidence there. They just abandoned
to give some more context. So there's a group of kids that went to this academy called that. What was it called? It was Academy on the River or something like that.
Academy on River Ridge.
Yeah, or Oak like Ridge. Oak Ridge. River Ridge sounds better.
River Ridge was right. I can't remember.
It was like up north.
I know. The abbreviation was like A. It was Air.
Okay, River Ridge. I think that's right. And it was up north. I remember that they could go over the river and then be in Canada, or they could escape. That I remember them talking about that.
Yeah.
And anyways, to give more context, that program got shut down because they're obviously abusive and stuff. But some of the people that were in that academy actually went back to the academy and ended up finding a bunch of documents, a bunch of old footage. Pretty much that building was left untouched and just abandoned by the academy whenever they got shut down. But yeah, it's crazy. Like, all the footage they were finding, how they were like talking about, like, because they found their own documents. So, well, some of them didn't. Some of them found footage of them getting fucked up. Like, it was just crazy. They talk about how they rioted one night and tried to escape. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there was like one girl that like never did drugs. She was a straight A student, and I think her parents wanted to put her in there because they heard so many good things about the academy. And apparently, when you first go in, they make you do a strip search, and they also make you do like a drug test.
They forged the drug test,
And
right?
apparently, this one chick, yeah, no, it came out negative in big bold letters. It says negative for alcohol and drugs. But the instructor sat there and said, it lit up like a Christmas
Yeah,
tree.
I remember that.
And basically, and then called her a crack whore for her like entire time
Yeah, an
being there.
addict and all this other stuff. It was just crazy. It's definitely a good
Yeah.
watch if you're into that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I found it crazy when they sat there and they were making those kids having to like literally come up with stories saying that they're confessing to like their wrongdoings.
The other thing I found interesting was like the brainwashing thing they were talking about. How they would make them do like a certain like was like a certain like
Was
a
like a
seance that
séance
they
or
had to repeat
something.
over and over and over until they decided that it was time to stop.
Yeah, like with the hands,
Yeah, they
it's
had to go
like
like
hands
this,
palms
like
up, palms
that.
down.
Yeah, that shit.
Open,
Yeah, or
closed.
they would have to make them carry a box the whole day.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's
dude, that
crazy.
shit's.
That or sitting there in like for putting him in like a room with blacked out windows, having to do like the rage, the screaming with a towel wrapped in duct tape and banging it against the floor. That's
Yeah.
crazy.
No, that was really interesting.
But what's even crazier to me was the seminars that they had the parents doing, and it was like stupid stuff they had the parents doing, and they actually believed that it was actually doing
Dude,
something for them.
honestly, like it's one thing I've learned out of watching all these documentaries and cult shit and like listening to podcasts. It's so fucking easy to convince people. As long as you convince them that you're pushing them in the right path. Like if you can do that, you can start a cult anytime. Like people are so vulnerable and so like not just vulnerable, but they always
I
want to
always
find
think
like
like that.
something that'll take them to the next level, or always want to find hope in whatever they're doing. And it's crazy how it's so simple, but it could go so far if you can just convince someone that. You know, you're leading them down the right path. You're giving them hope.
And watching that documentary, it reminded me of watching when I was watching Ghost Adventures. They did the it wasn't an asylum, it was a mental institution for like the special ed, like a special ed location, like where they did human experimentations and everything on them, trying to fix them, make them normal again. I was like, dude, that's heartbreaking.
It's pretty crazy. I mean, it's crazy that back in like, what was it, like the 60s or 50s, they used to do lobotomies on women to try to control them. Like, do you know what a lobotomy is? So pretty much what they would do is they
I don't think I
would
heard of
get
that one.
like, it's almost like an ice pick. They would put it up your nose and then they would tap it with a hammer. Well, the goal was to hit the frontal cortex of the brain and separate it, because the frontal cortex like affects your emotions and different things. And what they would do is like they would convince women that, you know, they were depressed, or like if women were not abiding to what their husband wanted them to do, their husbands would institutionalize them, say they're crazy, and then they would do lobotomies and take them back. They'd be completely different people because they literally just disconnected the frontal cort the frontal, I think it's called the frontal cortex. And like I said, it affects the frontal cortex affects your emotions, your creativity, like a bunch of different things. And people would be like almost like brain dead after it. But they would do it to women all the time. And to people that were special ed, yeah, it was like they're fixed to, or like kids with ADHD, like they would do that to them. And it would calm them down because like that part of their brain wasn't firing anymore. That's crazy what humanity would do, what humans would do to other humans just as an experiment, or just to see like what happens, or just try to control someone. That's what I'm saying, like,
But it was It's also crazy to me that like the program, the institution that I'm talking about, and then like the lobotomy all happened within like the same couple of like years.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it's so crazy because if you like me and you, right? We always will probably are like-minded in the fact where we're like, oh, there's no way in hell we can be in a cult, or there's no way in hell we can fall for this, right? Because we always tend to question things. At least I do now. I've always questioned things, like from the like with the example of my parents, right? They were sold this thing with this church group that, they were gonna unite the families, they were gonna, enrich the families in the faith and teach them all about God and this and that. But in reality, what they did was they ended up breaking my family apart because they focused on just the kids and the adults. They didn't really focus on teenagers. And what they did was they sold kids like this thing where it's like, oh, come hang out with your friends. It's gonna be great. You're gonna grow like a new family with all these kids, right? And then the parents were like, oh, well, we're gonna teach you how to parent, or we're gonna teach you how to be great parents and this and that. But all they were doing was imposing their own rules on these parents so those parents would control their kids. And obviously, especially on the teenage level where we start building our own opinions, like it conflicted a lot because they were like, for example, for me, they're saying that, I was a bad kid because I played sports, I did yoga, I worked out a lot, like I wasn't focusing on being a Catholic and this and that. And they literally blacklisted me from all the other kids. I was a black sheep in that group. Like I wasn't allowed to hang out with certain kids because, I spoke differently. I came from the hood and this and that. Like it was just like me being that outsider, I was able to see how easily they were convincing everyone because they were selling everyone on this feel good idea. Right. And it makes it like it's made me realize, especially as I get older and I learn more about cults, like people are so fucking vulnerable. It's amazing how vulnerable we are. Like we all think, oh no, we can't fall for that. But all it takes is one person to be charismatic and say something that you've been needing to hear. Boom, they'll hook you. It's why Joel Austin is so fucking rich as a pastor, right? It's because he sells feel good.
Yeah.
I find it crazy, but like at the same time, I find it more crazy that people will let these things happen and not even realize that they're letting it happen. It's almost like an abusive relationship, right? Most people don't realize they're being abused when they're in an abusive relationship.
Yeah, it's not until they find
Or
something
someone
else or
really shows
they find
them,
their way out that they realize.
it's pretty crazy the vulnerability that we
Yeah.
have as human beings. But speaking about that, and cults,
It's
have you
crazy.
heard what's going on with P. Diddy? Like the rapper, hip hop
No.
mogul?
I heard his
Bro,
place got
both his houses
raided, I
got
think.
raided. They're trying to take him down for sex trafficking. And it's so crazy because Cat Williams, comedian, a couple months back, he came out on this podcast and he's like, you never go to a Diddy party. Like they'll turn people gay. Like he like there's been a lot of things being dropped where, Diddy's been accused of raping dudes, but raping rappers like Meek Mill, forcing all these big rappers that are big now, to do sexual favors for him. Likewise, he's being accused of sex trafficking, he's being accused of raping girls. And like it's a whole Jeffrey Epstein, but like in the hip hop world now. And it's so fucking crazy because he's been on the run. Like he took off to the Caribbean and no one can track him. But they've tracked down his drug dealers, they've tracked down a bunch of his employees. 50 Cent is over here saying dropping a bunch of hints saying that, Jay-Z and Beyonce are the next ones that are gonna get taken down for this shit. And it's just a whole fucking crazy mess on like this whole new sex trafficking thing. And apparently P. Diddy's also tied with R. Kelly's cult. Like it's just wild, bro. I can't believe you haven't heard about it, or you haven't really like seen anything about it.
I hadn't really seen anything. The only thing I seen that was that he was spotted outside of Miami Airport pacing around.
Yeah, that was days before his house got raided, or like the day before his house got raided. His drug dealer got arrested. I didn't know his drug
Yeah.
dealer was 23 years old. That shit's crazy, dude.
Damn.
But I mean, I'm so it's so entertaining to me because I just want to see like the names that are going to get dropped. Like, I have a good feeling Jay-Z and Beyonce, they're going to be dropped on there for sex trafficking. I mean, the people are saying that it's a lot of big Hollywood names, a lot of big music names, really, that are about to be taken out with P. Diddy's whole trial. I'm just waiting for them to catch his ass.
Yeah, there's like a lot of people that are like, you know, if you're in Hollywood, you're in some type of circle.
Yeah. And I mean, P. Diddy has one of the biggest circles. I mean, when you hear people talking about his parties, everyone wants to go to his parties. You know, except for the smart ones that say, stay away from those fucking parties. Don't go there.
But it's crazy that Cat Williams was sitting there just exposing everybody. And then, like, after him, there was a couple other people that went on the show and was just like, yep, that's how it is. Yeah,
and it's literally, like, all coming to fruition. It's all coming out. I mean, even 50 Cent, like, he's been dogging Jay-Z these past couple of days. And he's been talking a lot about, like, well, not talking, but posting a lot of stuff about Jay-Z, about, you know, P. Diddy. And I'm so curious what's going to come out of it. Because Cat Williams dropped a lot of shit on that podcast. And other people have dropped a lot more information. And I don't know. I think we're about to see a crazy shift in Hollywood in general. Like, in music and the whole industry. It's pretty crazy.
I can only imagine what it's going to be.
Right.
Just a bunch of people start going down and it's like big names. I think
it's
going to
be
a
bunch of weirdos, dude. Since they're going to take out all these big names that are in all these circles, then we're going to have a bunch of weird, like, you know, drama kids.
Yeah, it's going to be...
That's going to be interesting.
That's crazy.
Yeah, dude.
It's weird how things are evolving.
It is, dude. And then, you know, we got that eclipse coming up. We got Joe Byron.
People going to go greatest wild. Greatest
president in the people U.S. history, letting in over 10 million immigrants. That number is crazy. 10 million immigrants, dude.
Yep.
You know, they estimate that they've let more people pass a border than what 30 states in the U.S. have in population.
Mm-hmm.
That shit's fucking wild. More than 30 states' populations, where the fuck are they going? They ain't coming to Texas. We're sending them back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're scattering like roaches into the U.S. It's bad, too, because
Mexico doesn't want them back. Because they're not even Mexican. They're like Venezuelan, yeah. Chinese, Haitian.
Oh, I saw that the House Speaker was talking about the Mexican president.
Yeah, because...
He sat there and said that Mexico's going to do it. Because Mexico does what we say.
No.
And the Mexican president was like, no, we're an independent nation.
You know,
we have great relationship with y'all, said, right? but we're not going
to... They said if they let Texas start sending people back to Mexico, Mexico's going to stop trading with the U.S. They said they don't want them.
Damn.
And the only reason they're in their country is because Joe Byron opened the doors for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, shit's crazy, bro.
I don't know what the obsession is of letting them all in, though.
Win votes?
I think it's a political move. Again, something major always happens the year of an election. Votes.
They're starting a war. I mean, what more could you want? They're trying to witch hunt Donald Trump. Kamala Harris is over there dancing in Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico telling her, get the fuck out. We don't want you here, bitch. And she's just like, ooh, that's you know, my jam.
Joe Byron's riding trains that don't exist.
It must have been a train to Hogwarts, because they ain't in this world.
Shit's going to hell.
9 3/4.
Right. Oh, man. Well, shit, buddy. I think this is a good time to end the podcast. We've been on for quite a while. All right, that was a good episode. Thank you, Alan, for joining. It was a blast. It was good to catch up with you.
Always.
Thank you guys for watching. If you like what you saw, give us a thumbs up, 5-star review. Be on the lookout for our sister podcast that has come back into recording, into fruition, Accidental Chaos 69, hosted by producer Bowen and some of his friends. It is a nerdy, fun, good time. This has been the Weekly D Podcast. I'm your host, Danny G. That's Mr. AOZ. Remember, if you can't get it daily, get it weekly. Peace. Peace.